God's word in us, and us taking hold with it and putting action to it. So tonight I want to talk to you about putting your faith into action. I know I'm sort of talking to the choir, but you know, we need to step it up. Even we need to step it up. You know, and as we were worshiping here, I know I pushed you just a little further, but I just wanted you to push it up just a little further. So sometimes when it seems like it's going long, it's because I'm pushing you to to go a little further than where you are. And there, you know, it's not my intention just to linger on, and because, you know, this is the devil thought that goes through my head. You're only doing this because your message is short tonight. And my message is not short tonight. But, you know, sometimes, you know, you think, well, you just push it a little further. But I just felt like I wanted you to go a little further than where you were. It was very intense here, and I wanted you to draw into that. But, you know, you have to be willing to push into that and to go there. And that's part of putting your faith into action about what I'm going to talk to you tonight about, is that the word is in us. The faith, the seed, the root is there. But we have to push ourselves many times to put that faith into action, you know. So we want to talk about that tonight. So let's look at Matthew 28. We're going to start off there. A couple weeks ago, Debbie started off with Mark 16, and she talked about the commission that Jesus gave us there. And I just kind of want to pick up on that, where, you know, she talked to us about, you know, she talked to us about casting out demons, and, you know, and we have to take authority over those things. And it was such an excellent message. I mean, it was, that just stirred me so. And I want us to, you know, to begin to think about these things that we know that is in us, that God has already placed in us. And we need to get to a different level. We've become very comfortable where we're at. We've become very complacent where we're at. And just Debbie's message, in her message, it was a stirring to say, you know this. Now, why aren't you doing something about it? But you've become complacent, and just, it's just easy to slide. I'll tell you, it's such a privilege to travel as I had done in the last month or two, and to see the country and to see what is going on out there. You get a totally different perspective of life when you're out away from here. And we saw many things. And one of the things that we were stirred about was how privileged we are, how blessed. And even though we live where we live, and even when Jesus walked the earth, they said, could anything good come out of Nazareth or Capernaum or wherever it was? I don't remember the scripture now, but can anything good come out of there? And so often we think that way about here at Kaiser. Can anything good come out of there? Can anything, you know, what do we have to offer? But I'm going to tell you, we are so blessed. We are extremely blessed to live where we live. We're extremely blessed because of who we are and what we know according to the word, and the faith and the roots and the seeds that are in us. We're extremely blessed that we have been fed the word for 25 years. We're extremely blessed that we've put that word into action, and we bring life to this area. There, we saw, like I said, we saw many, many things. And we saw an immense amount of poverty that's in this country that you do not hear about and that you do not see. And it is almost unbelievable, but you see it, and it is there. There is poverty all over this country in places that you would not believe, and with the intensity that you would not believe unless you saw it with your own eyes. And so I can say that we are blessed. And, you know, this morning I told you about the little story about the furnace and how things don't die. That, and I honestly believe this, and I'm not, I know that there's only a few of us, and you think, oh, Roxanne, you're crazy. I believe it's because of the word that is in us. I believe this city is blessed because we are here. And it is not because of who we are, but because of whose we are. It's because of God in us. Because the Word of God that has brought life, life eternal, life everlasting, is in us, and we take it wherever we go. And we are, it's just a blessing to be here and to see what we have and to know what we have. But we've got to take it to the next level. Poverty is at the gates. You know, there are lots of things that are at the gate. And we are going to have to push ourselves beyond the complacent place that we are at right now. We have, just by Debbie's message, I could see my complacency. I could see my... I look at this sometimes of, well, I'm just retired. We're retired and we can take it easy. But you know, you can retire from your work. Or you can retire, let me rephrase, you can retire from your job, but you never retire from the work. Because we have got to work the works of God. We've always got to be on, we've always got to be ready. And we've always got to have a supply. We've got to have it ready. We've got to have it in us and a supply built up in order to give out and to help others along the way. So this, you know, when I start to think about the things that I'm talking about right now in this message, I think about that Amy Grant song. It says, fat, 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 fat babies. You know, that we just consume and consume the Word and consume the Word and consume God and consume everything that He has and never use it, never give it out. And I can't say that we don't give out some, but we need to learn now to step up. I know there's not very many people here tonight, but we need to learn how to step up to the next level of doing what the Word of God tells us to do. So if we look at Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus said, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth.'" The part I want to focus in on is verse 20 here. He says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded. Now, observe does not mean to look at. Because too often we look at the Word, but we're not participating in it. You know, observe here means that we have to celebrate or participate. We observe the holiday of Christmas. Well, if you observe the holiday of Christmas, that means you participate in that. You do the things that people do at Christmas time. So we need to observe Jesus. Jesus commanded us to observe all things that he had taught us, taught the disciples. And he told them, you teach them to do these things. And so we've got to learn to do. We've got to push ourselves to do what Jesus has commanded us to do. Not just read it and think about it, but to do those things. Let's look at James. And you thought, now she's going to go to James. Yes, she is. Let's look at James chapter 1, verse 16. I'm going to start right there. It says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren, but every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself." He's telling us here to, as we know, to not to just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Because he says you deceive yourself when we do those things. But when we look back up and we look at verse 18, we can see here that God didn't just meditate on the word. He says, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. He did something with the word. You know, he didn't just meditate on the word. Now, meditating on the word is very important. I want to express to you that meditation of the word is extremely important for our life. It's something that we should do all of the time. Because if we're not meditating on the word, you're meditating on something else. So you need to meditate on the word. But meditating on the word is not enough. We have to act on the word of God. Just like God didn't just meditate on the word. You know, he didn't just think about, well, I'll create the earth. I think I'll do that. Now, I'm not saying that is outside the scope of God, that he couldn't think it and that it would happen. But he says here he brought us forth, you know, by his word. He did something. He brought something forth. He didn't just think us into being. He spoke us into being. He created us by the word. And so for us, we have got to start moving on the word, not just thinking about it, reading it, and thinking that that is enough, because it's clearly not enough. We have got to start doing something, performing the word, doing something with the word, because when we don't, we are deceived, and we don't want that. Let's look at Mark chapter 5. It's a little bit different take on this particular scripture that we've heard and read so many times. But Mark 5, let's start in verse 22. This is when Jesus had fed the 5,000, and he got in the boat, and he crossed, and he went over to Capernaum, remember? And the people all of a sudden realized that Jesus wasn't on the other side of the lake any longer, and they said, oh, let's go over where he's at. And he's a tad bit upset with them. But, you know, but then other things begin to happen here. In verse 22, and behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, Jesus, he fell at his feet, and he begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she had said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around to the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But the disciples said to him, you see the multitudes thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her and who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knew what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. And while he was speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. We always see this as that Jesus, you know, Jesus as God here, and that the anointing was upon him, and this woman touched his garment and he was healed. And that did happen. But what is very interesting to me here is she says, if only I can touch his clothes, I will be healed. And you know, now as faith people, in the word of faith, we say, if only I could do this thing, and if only I would read the word, if only the anointing would come, if only. But you see, we don't, and this has been preached, that if she believed. No, she didn't just believe. She did something. She touched his garment. First, she believed. Yes, that was a great thing. You know, she believed. But then she put her belief, her faith in action, because she said, if I could touch his clothes. You know, and as a Word of Faith people, we think if we just confess it over and over and over, it'll happen. You know, if we just confess it enough times, that something will happen to us. Something is going to change, you know. And it's that may happen an occasion, but it's not the meditation of the Word that makes it happen. It's the doing of the Word that makes things happen. And she meditated on the Word. She had heard about this man. He was not God. Now, we know him as God because we know the whole story. She heard about this man who had an anointing, and if she could but touch his clothes, you know. And when Jairus came to him, what's interesting here, thinking about this again, he is just a man. He is not God. But he had heard about his faith in God. So Jairus did something. If I could just get to the man who is in touch with God, then he will come and lay his hands on the daughter. Now, Jesus could have thought, he was God, he was man, but he was God. And like I said, it's not outside the realm of God to think something and that it would happen. But he was operating as a man, and Jairus asked him to come and lay your hands on her. Then she will be healed. He didn't, you know, we do have references to if you just speak the word. But still, he had to do something with that. I mean, he didn't just think, oh yes, I'll meditate. By my stripes, he'll be healed. Or, you know, in the scripture in the Old Testament says, the stripes of Jesus, my stripes will heal. He didn't just think those things. He had to speak them or lay his hand or do something. And so, as like I said, as Word of Faith people, we think if we confess it enough, something will happen. And we've got to push ourselves beyond that. Because I'll tell you, it's real easy for me to just say, I'll confess it and it'll happen eventually, you know. If I just keep saying, you know, by Jesus' stripes, it says right so there, right there, I read it, and I know it's going to happen. And that is all true, but I've got to put some action to believing and to acting out that I am healed. Just like Debbie preached about casting out demons. You know, I can meditate about those demons are terrible and they really should go away. But until I put action to casting them out and telling them they must leave, standing my ground when it doesn't appear that they have, what good is it? I've deceived myself. The Word says so, that I've deceived myself to think that I've done anything. Let's look at John chapter 6. John chapter 6. It says here, and Jesus was doing works, and this again here is that he's in the boat and going all over the place. And in verse 28, he's talking to the people, and the people said to him, you know, because he's saying, you only follow me because I give you food. And the people say to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? What should we do to work the works of God? I thought that was very interesting to think about. Well, what should we do to work? Well, Lord, what are they saying? They're saying, well, how do we get into the ministry that you have? How do we do these things that you do? Do you ever ask yourself, how do I work the works of God? How do I get into the ministry? You know, and most of us say, oh, I don't want to be in the ministry. I don't want to do that. But Jesus commanded us to teach all that he taught us. He told us to do, observe those things that we should be teaching others and doing these things. So how do we work the works of God? This is not a bad question. This is not a bad thing that these people ask. You know, because Jesus is proposing to them and saying, well, the only reason you're following me around is because I give you food. Yeah, there's lots of other things happening. And they say, well, what do we do to work the works of God? What do we do? And Jesus says, believe on him who sent me, you know, and then you'll be able to do these things. But of course, Jesus had not died and given the ministry to us at this point. So believing was putting their actions, which they had no reality of that at that point. But he was preparing them for a time when they could begin to put action to what he was telling them. But what, you know, how do we get into the ministry? How do we do the works of God? Well, first thing we have to do to work the works of God is we must be born again. And everybody here qualifies. Everybody in the house qualifies for the works of God. So that's the first thing. But you know what? But faith without works is dead. That's right. As Gordon had to say this morning, is dead. It will not last. You know, I kind of put a little twist of taking it's dead to it will not last. Because we build our faith up by confession, but it will not last. You know, how many of you remember what the sermon was about this morning? Gordon remembers. It's because he put action to what he heard. He spoke it out. He did his part, you know. But what did we do today in order to put our faith, that word, into action so that we can remember it? Faith without works will not last. You can build and build and build all you want by receiving into yourself the word. But until you begin to act on that word, it will not last. Let's turn back to James. James 1:22, he says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. Did you hear the sermon this morning? For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. How many of us heard the word this morning? Uh-oh. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in whatever he does. If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphan and the widow in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. You know, we have got to be doers of the word, because like I said, we look into that, we hear the word, we hear the sermons, we know what is right, we've looked into the mirror and we know the perfect liberty that's in there, but we are not doers. And so when we walk away, we forget what we heard, we forget what was preached to us, and we are deceived in ourselves. But the one who is blessed, this is a scary scripture right here in verse 25. The one who does his will is the one who is blessed. We think if we meditate on it, read our Bibles enough, that we'll be blessed. And there is a certain measure in that. There is a certain measure in blessing, of blessing in knowing the word. But to be super blessed, to be blessed beyond measure, we have got to become doers of the word. Jesus says in John 13:17, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. If you do them. So looking and hearing the word is not enough. We've got to move on. And I think about this, and it says a pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted by the world. And immediately what I thought about was the Quakers. Do you know that the Quakers don't exist any longer? That experience of religion does not last any longer, because they took this so literally. They isolated themselves in a commune and would not allow anyone who did not believe in what they believed in, and they never took it out. And eventually, it ended up two little old ladies
and they passed away because they didn't want to be spotted by the world. And it's not that you are not going to be untouched by the world, but you don't let it affect you. But what they did was they isolated themselves, and they were hearers of the word and not doers of the word. They deceived themselves in isolating themselves to be pure from the world. They were deceived. They were hearers, but not doers. And it's such a shame, because there's a whole experience of God. Because I believe that Quakers were probably a lot like Word of Faith people, that they literally believed what the Word said. And they would hear and they would pray and they'd begin to quake because they felt God. And that's how they got their name, Quaker, was because God would come on them and they'd begin to shake. And so they called them Quakers. So they were experiencing the power of God, but because they refused to take it outside of their realm, it died. And that is really sad to see. If we do not work our faith for others to see and learn from it, faith will die. I mean, we can stay here and be untouched by the world, refusing to take it out, and we will die. We will eventually die off. It may take a couple generations, but it would happen, just like the Quakers. And that's why we have to take our faith to the world. Let's look back at Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. I know I have you going all over the place here tonight, but it's just some scriptures that we see that I just want to point out to you. It says in 5:15 or 5:16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." People have got to see our works. Just hearing, Gordon talked a bit about this morning. Hearing our words is not enough. We hear the word and see it and say, that's good. That's the perfect law of liberty. And we walk away and we forget it. Well, people do the same thing when we preach the word. They hear us, but unless they see us work the works of God, they're going to forget it. And we do the works that we do because it glorifies God. We cannot be saved by works. I know that. That's very clear. You know, works do not save us. I mean, we know a lot of good people who do a lot of good work that are not saved. Good works can't save us. But without the works, our faith will die. I mean, our faith will die, even as faith people. Unless we do the works, we are not glorifying God, and our works will die. James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse 14 through 26. It says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him?" You know, this verse just warped me, because it's like, can faith save him? And I say, yes. Yes. It can save you, but it will not keep you safe. It will not keep you unless you put works to it. We'll read that, and we're going to go on here to see this. He says, can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, but you do not give them things that they have need of, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say to you, I have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith made perfect or complete. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. He was called a friend of God. You see then, a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot who also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, faith also without works is dead. When we can look at this and we can say, our faith must have action. You can say you believe all you want, but until you act on your faith is not working. We can say we believe all we want. Even the demons believe that there is God, but they don't act on that. They don't act. They don't worship God. They don't do the works of God that God can be glorified, but they believe that there is a God. And if when we do not put works to our faith, are we any different? Ooh. All right. So we've got to put works to our faith. And what's interesting here of you know, that Abraham was justified by his works. Now, he could have said, I believe God, all he wanted, all the way up the mountain. He could have said, I believe. And never done anything, and it would never have been accounted to him righteousness. But until he offered Isaac, actually put him up on the altar to sacrifice him, his faith was not working. It was building, but it wasn't working. He was making the confession, because he even said to him, "Some God will provide." Because Isaac said, "Well, where's the lamb? God will provide." His faith was building in him. He was confessing the word constantly. That was important. But until he actually did what God told him to do, and that was to offer him, his faith was untested. But when he put him up there, it was accounted to him as righteousness, as Gordon was talking to us this morning about righteousness and it working in our lives, and the difference between that and lawlessness. And that is why it is so important for us to act on our faith, to do the things that God has called us to do, to work the works of God, to work the works. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 16. It says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. We also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Jesus acted out his faith by going to the cross. If he had not gone to the cross, his faith would have been in vain, because that was the purpose for his coming. His purpose for coming wasn't to do good works, to heal the sick, to deliver those from the... His purpose for coming was to save mankind. So until he went to the cross and was obedient to the cross, his faith wasn't really working. I can't say it wasn't totally working, but it was working some. But it wasn't to the degree that it needed to work. It was not complete. And so it's important for us to work the works, to do what God has, because he's told us to observe all these things that Jesus has taught us. So until we participate and do those things, our faith has not been completed like Jesus. He says in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. And Jesus performed his faith. He worked his faith by going to the cross. He laid down his life for mankind. Let's go on. It says, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You know, sometimes when we see a need, and somebody will point out a need that somebody has, And this is what happens. We are so busy, and I know that. I know that we're all busy, and sometimes it's inconvenient. And this is what I know. You know, somebody will tell us about someone having a need, and our response is, I know. I know. You know, so-and-so is sick. I know. So-and-so needs this. I know. But we've seen and we heard. He says, don't just love people in word and in tongue, but in deed. We've got to step up. We've got some action to put to this. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. If our heart, I'm going to stop right there. But he says here, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. We have to put the action to what we know. Because I know is not enough sometimes. We've got to do just a little bit more. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 6. It says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Our faith works because of love. Jesus died on the cross because he loved us. He worked his faith because of his love for us. We work our faith because we love. You know, that's the reason for working your faith, is because we love. And I have a couple questions, and you don't need to answer them out loud, but I'll just ask you a few questions. Faith works through love. How do you know someone loves you? How do others know we love them? How do we know that people love us? And how do we know that God loves us? I can say I love you all the time, but if I don't do anything to show that love, and if somebody tells me they love me all the time, but that's all they ever do is say it, how do I know? How do I know? Well, how do we know that God loves us? Because he sent his only son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that who should ever believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. He showed us through Jesus. That's how we know. Because he did something. He acted out his faith. He performed his faith. You know, God put his faith in Jesus, that Jesus would do what he asked him to do. And Jesus performed his faith by going to the cross. I mean, clear up to the last minute, he could have changed his mind. He could have just, in the Garden of Gethsemane, just, I'm not sure I want to do this. Now, we don't think about that because we always think about Jesus being God and but, you know, he was man. There was great turmoil going through him when all of that was going on. But he acted out his faith. And so we know that God loves us because he did something with his faith. And it's the same way with us. How do we know that others love us? And how do others know that we love them? It's by what we do. It's not by what we say. It's about what we do. You know, if my kids always say, I love you, Mom, but they never act like they love me, how do I know they love me? I don't know. And it can get, you know, and you get so mad at them because sometimes they do things that don't look very loving. But I love them back because I forgive them. But, you know, we only know because of the action, the work that is behind that word that is spoken. And so it's very important for us to put the actions behind what we say, you know, to activate our faith and make it seen that God can be glorified. Because that it's by our works of love. It's our works of the word that God is glorified. That is the whole purpose for that. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. This is Paul speaking in verse 3. Paul says, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and the patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were when we were among you for your sake. He says, we make mention of you in our prayers, but we make mention of you knowing your work of faith. He says, I thank God for your work of faith. You just don't say the things that you say. You put action behind the faith. You put action behind the word. So we see the work of your faith. You know, as faith people, we're real good about that confession thing, you know. And let me tell you, the confession thing, the meditation thing is highly, highly important. But there's another level. There's an action that has to go beyond just meditating and speaking. We've got to begin to do. And people have got to see our work of faith and our labor of love. Well, labor indicates to me that something was going on, that they were doing something here. It's not just they thought a good thought and they prayed a good prayer. They did something, you know, that put action and effort behind these things. And these things, when we put work behind our faith and we put labor to our love, it reveals the power of God. And today, in these days that we live in, we need the power of God. I mean, we're at that holiday season where people are looking for that power. And I think about all the Halloween movies and all the scary stuff that's out there. Well, there's power behind that because they're not just talking, they're showing the scary stuff and they're doing this because it creates something in people. Well, you know, as Christians, we need to create things in people. They need to see the power of God, and not in a scary way, but in a love way. You know, in a way that they can see God, in a way that that God will be revealed to them. They need to see the power of God. And so we have to put our faith to work in order to see the power of God. Amen. Let's turn to Ezekiel. I'm almost done. I know this is lengthy tonight, but this is, let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 30 through 33. Just a few more things, and then I'll be done. Ezekiel 33:30. It says, as for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the wall and in the doors of the houses, and they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. And so they come to you as people do, and they sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a lovely song of one who has pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. And when this comes to pass, surely it will come, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. We do not want to be these people. I saw this and I thought, oh my, this is not a good thing. You know, they hear your lovely song, you play a nice instrument, they hear your lovely words. They say they have love, but they're not doing it. They're not doing what they hear. This is not good. This is not what, and the thing of it is, he says, and surely this will come. I think this time has come. I think we're living in this time right now when this is coming to pass. When there are, Christians who hear the word of God and play a lovely instrument and hear a pleasant song, but they are not doing the will of God, because the power of God is just not there. It's just, it's empty. People are empty of the power of God. And that is a shame, because the world needs to see the power of God. And I think that we're seeing this come to pass now, of doing goodwill all over the earth. We have to do goodwill to everyone so we can all just get along and be happy. And there'll be peace in the world if we all just hold hands and sing Kumbaya. And it's just not going to... We sing that lovely little song, Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya. You know, it's not going to happen. You know, and that time has come, then we do not want to be these people. We do not want to just hear this word and not be putting actions to the word of God, so that people can see the power of God. People need to hear. And I think it's 1 Corinthians, it says that the gospel is the power unto salvation. I don't have it written down, but I think that's what it says. So in order for salvation to happen, there has to be a power behind that. And lovely songs and instruments playing is not the power of God that saves people. Holding hands and singing Kumbaya does not save people. We have got to exhibit the power of God in order for people to be saved. Gordon said last Sunday night, says, if we are not doers of the word, we are rejecting grace. We do not want to reject the work of God by not being doers of his word. When Woody was here, I know I wasn't here, but I got to hear all of that. When Woody was here, he said, the blind follow anyone, the seeing follow leaders. As leaders, we must set an example for others to be doers of the word. We have to be the ones who are doing and setting the example. Because honestly, on Sunday night, if you're here on Sunday night, you're probably a little stronger in your faith, more of a leader, those who are going to step out a little bit more. So it's going to be up to us to be those who lead people who want to follow. We have to be the leaders who show by example what God is telling us and what Jesus has taught us to do. So how do we work the works of God? If we turn over to Mark 16. Mark 16 and 17 and 18. It says, this is how we do the works of God. Now, of course, we know in Galatians it says we do these things because we love. We work the works of God because we want to glorify God and because we love people. But these are the signs that follow those who have faith. They cast out demons. They speak with new tongues. We got that one down pretty good. Although there are some that are a little bit embarrassed about praying in the Spirit in front of other people. Don't be embarrassed about praying in the Spirit in front of other people. That's a sign. That's a sign that you're following God. So, these signs follow them who have faith. They cast out demons. They speak in new tongues. They take up serpents. And they know these deadly things won't hurt them. You know? I'm not telling you go out and handle snakes. But I want to tell you, don't live in fear. Don't live in fear about things. Oh, H1N1's coming. Oh! I've been around a lot of Christians who are just absolutely panicking over this thing. I mean, they're calling county commissioners and asking why they don't get the flu shot. I mean, it's crazy. They're scared, you know, and it's not even deadly. It just makes you sick, but it's not deadly. Don't live in fear. You know, people've got to see that the power of God is in you, and you're not moved by fear. You're not moved by these things because God is with you. They lay hands on the sick. When was the last time you laid hands on somebody and prayed for them? It's been a while. I mean, you know, when you pray for someone, touch them, You're a vessel of the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
You are a vessel. You are a container of the Holy Spirit. When you pray for somebody, touch them. You know, instead of going, I might get a germ from them. You know, they got a cold. I can't touch them. You know, well, it's the power of God on you. Work your faith. Believe you're healed. Believe you're protected. Work your faith. But lay your hands on the sick. And Jesus works. Do Jesus's works. You know, do the works of Jesus. Works that he, you know, he says, the works that I do, you will do also. You know, you will do the works that, that's what he says. When your faith is working, you're doing the works that he did. And greater is the next one. You know, if we could just get to doing the, what he did, that'd be pretty good. But then he's going to say, step up, there's another level. Because he says, greater works will we do. So we need to put our faith to work. We need to work the works of God and do what God has called us to do. Let's step up. Let's step up in every area of our life. Amen. We can do this. We are like fat little babies. It ought to be oozing out of us because we've had such good word put in us. We are full of the word of God, the seed of God. We just need to crack open the earth and let the plants grow because it's there. And do the works of God. Let's make a determination. Let's not just hear this word tonight. Let's do something with it. I mean, even tonight, when you go home, do something that is working the works of God tonight. Believe. Put action to it. Do something with what God is telling us to do. Amen? Let's stand. Father, we worship you tonight. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you that you are the power in us. It is not by any of our own works. It is not by our will. It is by your word, Lord God. It's by your power working through us. And Father, we release ourselves to your will and your purposes tonight. God, we release ourselves to do the works of God, to do your word, Lord. We do not want to just look and hear and hear your word, Father, and look in that mirror and say, oh, that was a nice word. We want to do your word, God. Help us, Father. You have given us your Holy Spirit. You have put your Spirit within us. You have transformed us from old creatures to new creatures, that we can be creatures of God, a creation created in your image, Lord. That this kingdom, your kingdom, can flourish and multiply. Just as you told Adam to multiply this kingdom, we must multiply your kingdom. And so, Father, do a work in us that we will, and encourage us and give us a little push to go out on the edge, Lord, and to do the works of God. Help us, Lord, to be an example of your word, Father, that it would draw people to you, that it would draw people to salvation, Father, that they would see the works of God and be born again. Father, we love you so much and we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you're working your work in us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah. Amen.